We're looking at the Lamentations, often attributed to Jeremiah, and rightly so, because the language and the themes are similar to what Jeremiah has in his prophecies, although the laments don't have any reference to who authored them. From the earliest expressions, they have always been attached to the prophecies of Jeremiah, and it's very likely that he wrote them. Certainly, he lived during the times that they're talking about, and the themes are the themes that he expresses in terms of the covenant relationship between Yahweh and Yahweh's people, and how these things have been violated, therefore bringing on the judgments, but also that there's hope, and out of this will come new expectations and new times ahead. The five laments, four of them, the first four that we've looked at so far, have all been acrostic poems. That is, each of their sections has begun with the successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. One and two are have three couplets together, so they're the same kind of acrostic poem. Three is much more intricately developed because in each of those three couplet poems, the successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet happen in all three of the initial lines. Lament 4 that we looked at last time has just two couplets in each of those. What we have in Lament 5 is similar to Lament 4 in length, but it is not an acrostic. That means that in the Hebrew language, although it has the same length as some of the others, it is not formed in such a way that the first letter of each couplet is of a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's a sense in which this no longer needs to say everything from A to Z, from beginning to end, because that's all been done. What happens now is that we are broken, and so the acrostic poetry is not present. That shows pattern. We are not patterned. We are broken. This is a prayer of repentance seeking Yahweh's deliverance, and it has none of that, why are you doing this, more it's, this is what's happened to us, and now what will you do? Please don't forget us. Lament 5. Remember, O Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens, our homes to foreigners. We've become orphans and fatherless, our mothers like widows, similar to the theme in Lament 1. We must buy the water we drink. Our wood can be had only at a price. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We are weary and find no rest. We submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. Notes about the truth of the curses of the covenant coming into effect. There is none to free us from their hands. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the desert. Our skin is hot as an oven, feverish from hunger. Women have been ravished in Zion and virgins in the towns of Judah. Princes have been hung up by their hands. Elders are shown no respect. Young men toil at the millstones. Boys stagger under loads of wood. The elders are gone from the city gate, and the young men have stopped their music. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim, like Mount Zion, which lies desolate with jackals prowling over it. You, O Lord, reign forever, yet your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us for so long? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. This is the shortest lament among the five. It's not an acrostic. It's more a prayer than a lament. A lament says, oh, woe is me. This says, okay, what next? Please don't forget us. Here the voice of the prophet, likely Jeremiah, comes through more strongly, this time wrestling with God for the future of God's people. Even though Yahweh has actively accosted Jerusalem to tear it down, it was the Babylonians who accomplished this, the people have now begun to learn their lesson and are calling on God to remember them. So Lament 1 happens at the time of the destruction. Wow, we never expected this to happen. Boy, are we devastated. Lament 2 looks from heaven and says, yeah, but you had it coming because here's your history with God and here's the covenant you broke. Lament 3 wrestles with God saying, yeah, we did wrong. We're sorry, but don't forget us. Please continue your relationship with us and restore us in one time. Lament 4 says, this is tough, but we look to you. And now Lament 5 is really a prayer. So turn to us, see what's happening in our lives, and bring and restore the good times. Because for your sake and ours, your witness is lost if ours is lost. If the people think that we are gone, then who will speak for God anymore? And that brings us to those final verses in Lament 5, in which God, for your own sake as well as for ours, come back and save us. And we'll think more about those themes next time as we try to pull together the implications of the theological terms and ideas that are given in this short book of Lamentations, the last of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament.